Tonight we have a word from 1 John 3, and then we'll have our prayer for the sick tonight and anointing with oil. How many of you have been healed in the ministry, really healed by the grace of God, like really healed from God? How many of you through the years? The last months I've heard, I think, four people have shared with me that they were healed. And of course, there's so much going on with regards to our health. And so we're going to believe God tonight for the miracle, a work of grace. Why wouldn't he? You know, that's the way we think about it. So turn to 1 John chapter 3 in verse 11. May the Lord bless this. How many of you were not here this morning? You were not here in the service. You were in some other service somewhere. Okay. Well, so many of you were, and you heard the message on being a servant this morning. So, chapter 3, verse 11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. So, could I have the iPad there, Pastor? Thank you. We have learned love, that God loves us first. Thank you. And we have, in history, we have the beginning and we have time. We have Jesus died on the cross. We are in 2021. And there are two seeds from the beginning. The seed of the woman, and that's the seed of the Spirit of God in you and me. We are born of the Holy Spirit. We are born of Christ. We've been born again. That seed is in us. Look at chapter 3, verse 9. To go back to that, whoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. I always, and I've studied that verse many different ways and talked to people about it who know about it, and I understand it that seed doesn't sin. I sin, but that seed does not sin because that seed is Christ. You are born of God, and that seed that is in you is Christ, and he does not sin. And he is love, and he dwells in us, not as Cain, who killed his brother. So he has a seed as well. That's the seed of the serpent. The seed of the serpent. That's the seed of evil. That's the seed of hatred. That's the seed of Antichrist. That's the seed of, that's essentially the seed of the world. The world is without God, in darkness, and does not comprehend God, does not know God. And Cain is of that seed. So this is chapter 3, verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Why did Cain slay Abel? It's a good question. Why? Why does he? Because these two spirits are contrary to each other. They are enemies. One is of God, the other is of the devil. They are both in the world. They are here. That's why Christ was slain on the cross. And the same spirit is happening today. The same thing is going on. There is the work of evil and the work of God. And by God's grace, we are worshiping Him and knowing Him, loving Him, and finding Him, filled with the Spirit and growing in grace and knowledge of Him. So this is what is being said here. Verse 12, why did he slay him? Because his own works were evil and his brothers were righteous. So we have the reason why is because the evil and the righteous, the evil hates the righteous because the righteous brings light to the evil, reveals that it is evil. That's what Jesus said in John 3, that light came into the world, but men love darkness more than light because their deeds are evil. They don't like it when the flashlight goes on them. They don't like it when their heart is revealed. So this is the nature of the world we are in. So 1 John 3, verse 13. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Don't be surprised if you wake up one day and realize this is happening in your life. Don't be surprised if you realize that it's not because you said the wrong thing, or not because you were on the cosmetic side of things. It's not that. It's deeper. The world hates the righteous. Abel, why were you killed? Did you misbehave? Did you offend Cain? No, I don't know that I did. I'm sorry if I did. No, that's not why you were killed. You were killed because you were righteous, and Cain was not. So that's a pretty profound, I think. Verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. So we have this sketch of, we can say, we have the hatred sketch like this, and then we have this other one, love the brethren. Notice it doesn't say love Cain, not loving Cain. No, it says love the brethren. There's a couple of different words you should know the difference. Neighbor, I lay down my life for my neighbor, or do I die for my neighbor? By the way, there's a difference between dying and then laying down your life. So we have Jesus died for the world, but he laid down his life all the time, and he continues to do so as a servant. He lays down his life for the brethren. He is a servant of God. And this is love the brethren. This is family. Love the brethren is family. It's community. It's fellowship. It's satisfying. It's reciprocal. It happens. We love the brethren. Because the seed is the Trinity, really. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit, loving each other, is in us, and we are loving each other as the Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father, so we love the brethren. Love the brethren. But the brethren are imperfect. Yeah, that's exactly right. The brethren can be like, actually, the brethren could behave like Cain and have hatred. But this is the meaning of the text. We are not to be like Cain and hate each other. We are to be like Jesus and to love the brethren. We are to lay down our life, not hate each other. But I have found hatred in my heart in the church at different times. Not hating the church, but hating a brother or a sister in the church. I cannot lay down my life for the brethren because I've gotten offended. Because they disappointed me, because they weren't there when I needed them, because of my flesh, because this is the nature of man. We have the nature of Cain, not the seed in that sense of the devil, but we have a fallen nature, and the fallen nature man cannot love like God loves. Cannot lay down his life as God lays down his life. So we are told here, no, we cannot have fellowship and be like Cain. Cain will kill a church. Cain will kill a brother. Cain will tear it apart. Cain will be so critical. Cain will be so unhappy. Cain has hatred in his heart. Cain cannot do it. Cain is not the answer. It has to be the Lord. So that's what this is about. Go to chapter 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love. Agape is the Greek word. Agape. Love the brethren. You know, you don't just love people that you like. You love people that are different. You love people that are people. You love the brethren. You don't just in circumstances show love. You in your heart have the love. You think no evil about them. You endure. You bear all things. You have a lot of patience. You have long suffering. You are loving the brethren. This morning we said that there's a consumerism in church life where you go shopping for the thing you need and what you want. There's a consumerism in the church and you go shopping for what you're looking for that fits you. But actually, this doesn't say that. It says, we have Christ in us, and he laid down his life as a minister, as a servant, and didn't protect himself, but he thought it was not robbery to be equal with God. It wasn't something he was grasping for. It's a better translation. It goes, he didn't have to be God. He was God all the time. But it wasn't like he had to prove himself to be God and be powerful. But he humbled himself and became a doormat. He went very low. Pastor Shabelli shared with me yesterday, he said that the only time that Jesus described himself was in Matthew 11 when he said, learn of me, I am meek and lowly. The only time he described himself. And he said, I am meek and lowly, meaning I am very humble, and learn of me. Like, be like me. You can take a beating. You can bless those that curse you. You can forgive your enemy. You can be very long-suffering, very patient with people. You can lay down your life. Lay down your life. I guess I need a volunteer, a young guy who's flexible. Do we have anybody? Young guy, just for a minute. Yeah, come on. Wow, the volunteers. Wow. Huh? Okay. Arbor, you want to do it? So, Arbor's standing up, and he's a normal, like, a guy who has his preferences and desires and protects himself and initiates and is very capable. He's a very capable guy. You could even say maybe strong, opinionated, can get things done. And he's very capable. He's a very strong guy. But then Jesus comes into his heart and fills him with the Spirit. And this brother has love in his heart. And he loves the brethren. And so a brother comes to offends him. He borrows money, doesn't pay him back. He makes fun of him, ridicules him, judges him. And Arbor can defend himself and protect himself. But, you know, Jesus told us, learn of me. Learn of me. I am meek and lowly. There's some other way of life. There's a way of life that I want you to learn. Love. Love the brethren. Now, as a brother offending him, I know that's not right. We're not encouraging that. But it happens. He gets hurt or offended. So he has a choice. As he grows in God and he has a vertical relationship with God, he is able to give things to God and seek God and ask God to fill him and teach him doctrine, teach him humility, teach him the nature of God, and to love the brethren. Well, love the brethren when they're good to you, but can you love the brethren when they're bad to you? Can you love the brethren when you don't like it? Can you, when you get hurt, can you love the brethren? Isn't that a good question? Because we all know it's not a party. It's not a picnic. It's not a tea party. It's not, you know, oh, this is so nice and... Life is in the kitchen. Life is on a Monday morning. Life is when my wife isn't there for me, or my children are disobeying, or my son is in jail. Life is when the bank makes a mistake, or a cyber criminal steals my account. Life is like crazy many times. So, but Arbor has a benefit. He's not only saved, but he's growing in the faith, and he's learning, and he wants to learn love. I must learn to love. It takes time, but I must learn to love. I must learn to forgive. You think it's easy? It's not. Is it easy to raise kids? It's not. Is it easy to keep your marriage together? It's really not. That's why it's a mess. There's a very strong direction that is from this world that is against what we are saying, what love is. God is love. But people say, I don't need God. I got it. Like Arbor, like he's here, vertical, you know, strong, capable. I got it. I don't need God. I got God. I believe in God. Leave me alone. I believe in it. Yeah, but listen, the day is coming. You need God. You do. Nothing less than God Almighty. I need God. Right now, I need God. One day you're going to say, I need God. I wish that I had learned about Jesus Christ and I am meek and lowly. I wish that I had learned love. I wish I had learned to forgive. I wish I had learned like how to think about things. And way back when I was in good shape, it was never too late. Never too late. We said this morning, when Moses saw an injustice, he looked this way and he looked that way, and then he killed a man. And we said, that's like Arbor here, like in strong, good shape, good, you know, ready, capable. You know, he sees something wrong, he looks this way, he looks that way, and he solves it, but it doesn't solve it. Because Jesus has another way for you to live. Because Moses got in trouble, and he was a refugee for 40 years in the desert. And then God called him and said, are you ready now? I got a different way. Take your shoes off. Take your shoes off. You're not the strong man anymore. I want you to trust me. So we went to Arbor to go take your shoes. No, don't leave your shoes on. Leave. Okay. Go down. Now listen. When Jesus died, I want you to get this point clear. He's alive right now. He's alive. He feels pain. Okay? He got hurt. He's alive. He's a doormat. His neighbor, I don't know what, his neighbor is a constant antagonist. And he feels it. All the time, you know. Or in the church, because love the brethren, lay down your life for the brethren. Nobody thanks you. You never got a birthday card. Your name isn't on the wall. There's not a brick with your name on it out there. You don't have any recognition. You're all alone on the mission field. I called one missionary one time, and he said to me, it's amazing you're calling me. And I said, why? He said, I'm walking in the woods thinking about how greater grace has forgotten about me. Greater Grace Ministry doesn't care about me. They have forgotten about me, and I feel very alone. And he said, it's amazing you're calling me. I said, I know. I've been there. I know those thoughts. They are real. That's part of life. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? You're going to lay down your life for the brethren. And you're going to say in your heart, it's okay, Lord, if everybody forgets me. For Jesus was on the cross and everybody forgot about Jesus. No man cares for my soul. I am forsaken. I am a worm and no man. I am forgotten. You know what a worm and no man means? It means lizard brain. There's nothing. I'm not even a man. I just am filled from spinal cord head to through a nervous system. That's all I can twitch and move around and wiggle on the cross. I am a worm and no man. How about that kind of death? That's a horrible death. Isn't that amazing? If he laid down his life for us, and we are to learn of him, then we are in this life to learn how to love the brethren. And he, as he's alive and hurting, is learning to forgive me. He's learning to pray for me. He's learning to edify me. He's learning to pick up the phone and say, "Hello, I am for you. How can you be for me when I hurt you?" Because I am. Because that's the nature of God. And I'm so much for you, I need to talk to you. Because we can have a talk. And we'll speak truth to each other. And encourage each other in truth. And be broken. And lay down, I want to lay down my life for you. Isn't that what it means? Okay, so now I'll finish up here with this text. It goes, we know, it looks like Arbor's having a good time down there. We have a pillow here, we can throw him a pillow. Yeah, we know we have passed from death unto life because we love. Do you know what? It's so nice to go to bed at night and say, "I love the brethren." It is so nice. I forgive my brother. I have nobody I hate. I have no revenge. I don't look for revenge. I look for mercy. The same mercy that I got, I want my brother to get mercy. I want him to be blessed more than ever. It's like Jesus on the cross, "Forgive them, they don't know what they do." And furthermore, to the thief, "Today you will be with me in paradise." I am a minister. I am a minister of light, minister of love, minister of forgiveness. I am a minister of truth. That's what people need. They don't need revenge, do they? They need love. Love. Sometimes we're so caught up with right and wrong. Do you want to stand up for a second? Okay. He's caught up with right and wrong. This is wrong. You know, this is right. And we say, yeah, we understand that, but it's not that way. This is a mess. This is a mess. We don't know what. There's nothing we can do. We need God. When there's a crazy mess, what do we need? We need God and his grace. And we need the Spirit of grace and the Spirit of God to love. It'd be like a dad frustrated with a teenager, and there's right and wrong, and he's so frustrated with his son or his daughter, and it just, like, wrong what happened, and there's so much of this frustration in life with people that happens, and then Arbor gives it to God. He said, "Oh, Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm just going to love. I want you to teach me long suffering. Maybe in 5 years this changes. Maybe with my daughter or my son, I'll speak to them not right in the driveway when I'm flying off the handle and I can yell at them in the driveway. Maybe I'll wait 48 hours. Go back down there." And you say, "I got to give it to God and think about it. And I got to wait 48 hours. And God, give me some wisdom how to be smart. If they need a penalty, I need the right kind of penalty. And if they get a penalty, I need the right kind of penalty for the right reason. And the penalty cannot be too severe." One brother told me, he was older than me. He was a very old guy. But he said to me in confidence, he's gone to be with the Lord, but he said to me, "I want to tell you something. I have a wound And I think he was in his 80s. I have a wound from when I was 15 years old. My father penalized me one summer when I got out of school. One summer, he said I had to stay in the house for the whole summer. I had to stay in the house for the whole summer. My friends are out playing in the sunshine. I had to stay in the house. My father penalized me that way. And he said, that thing was so wrong. That was so wrong, what my father did to me. This is Ephesians 6. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. What does it mean that in this world, as parents, we need to learn, I need a church. A church can teach me and help me to raise my children. A church can help me in my relationships with people. A church can teach me love. You can't find love in a bar room or in a movie theater. You can't find love by reading a book. You need to find love in God and find love in the doctrine. Come unto me, learn of me. I will teach you. I am meek and lowly. And this is what Arbor has got to learn and is learning. While he is suffering, he lays down his life for the brethren. And here's the kicker. This is the key. All that I said doesn't mean anything unless this is true. And God is with him. If that is true, then this is so life-changing. If God is with him. That brother in the other country, a missionary, feeling hurt, and he's able to say, Lord, I feel, you know, when we went on the mission field to Finland in our first year, we were to get $1,000 a month from our local church. And there were we were there like 10 or 11 months. Five times we didn't get the money. We didn't get the money. We were losing weight. We were losing weight. Like I weigh 190 pounds. When I finished my first year, I weighed 155 pounds. I lost about 40 pounds. I was losing weight because we didn't have any money. We didn't have food to eat sometimes. We got out of a guy had a factory with canned food, and we got some jars of tuna and tomato paste, or some chocolate bars and nakilepa and a few different items. And it didn't matter to me because I want to. I mean, I'm sure it did, but I'm just saying it just to say my local church can fail me. But this isn't what this is about. It's about God. It's about God. Is God with you? And look at what happened in Finland. In our first year, we had about 20 people. In our second year, we had about 200 people. And God was teaching us. I never said to the Finns, my church has failed me. I've never said that to my children. My church has failed me. I've never said that to my wife. My church has failed me. Because this isn't what it's about. It's about a love that's from God that loves the brethren when it's bad, when they fail, when it isn't good or it's not right or whatever it might be. That's a great thing. So, the last verse here, I think, it says, verse 15, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Could you stand up again, Herb? Thanks, you're doing good. Whoever he, you know right now, do you know what? He may be right now as he stands here. He's a murderer. Why is he a murderer? Because he can't lay down his life for the brethren. He can't love. He can complain a lot. He can defend himself. He can fight like a trooper. I mean, he can knock your head off. He could fight, but he's like, what is good does it do? This isn't about him being strong. This is about finding God, isn't it? It's about finding God, learning to be a servant. Nobody thanks you. Nobody knows you're doing it. Nobody's recognizing it. But it's in your heart. It's how you live. You end up getting blessed in many ways. It just showers on you. Jesus is with you. God is showing you a new way of life. It's a game changer. I come here to be a servant and to bless others. When things are wrong, I want to come in a blessing. When things are like under a curse, I want to bring a blessing. When there's no rain, I want to come in and be a blessing and pray for God to bring rain. When there's trouble around us, we want to find God and his grace and minister grace and teach it and learn it and grow in it and lay down my life for the brethren. Okay, verse 16 is the last one. Hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. What condition were we in when he did it? He laid down his life for us when we were stupid, when we were selfish. He laid down his life for us when we were arrogant. He laid down his life for us when we were filled with ourselves and our opinions. He laid down his life for us when we didn't have a clue. He laid down his life for us when you lived in a dorm and feel like quitting. When you come to the church and you're thinking, this is my last time, I'm done, I'm finished. He laid down his life for us when we were imperfect, had half of one foot in the faith and another foot outside of it. He laid down his life when we were weak and unrighteous. He laid down, so ought we, look at it, verse 16, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's a game changer. That means that somebody who learns that now might be one day teaching it in another country and saying, let's not complain about our country. Don't talk about it like that. I want to finish, but this is so timely, just what I want to say. When we went to Finland, I met this German guy who was also a believer from East Germany. And he would just complain about Finland. He didn't like Finland. He just complained about Finland. And I told him, I never do that. I never talk like that. I never complain about that. He said, why not? This is the way. And then he gave his whole thing. He goes, you don't come here to complain about the country. You come here to bring a blessing. You come here to bless. You come here to minister. We're privileged if they give us a visa. If we eat their bread and we have the air that they breathe and the water that we drink, why would we complain about this country? This is a blessed place. Can you see it? Do you see it? Do you understand it? Do you understand what it is? Do you understand anything about life? Like, life isn't about you having it your way. Life is about finding God and living with God, through God, in this world. And forgiveness is a huge thing. Because God is a forgiving God. And if he forgave me, I ought to forgive others. This is the way it is. When you and I walk in that, there's a blessing on our life. He opens doors. He teaches you. You get deeper. I realize there are many people that get married and I don't know that they understand what this means. Yeah, to be a servant, how amazing it is. If you marry a servant, if you are a servant and you marry a person who is a servant, what that means, that you are servants. It's not 50-50. You take out the garbage, 50% of the time I'll do the other 50. You know, you wash the dishes 50-50, you cook 50-50, laundry 50-50, and all of this kind of thing. Oh, what a boring, empty, frozen, discouraging, critical, judgmental marriage. What about joy? You lay down your life, give it all up, and be a servant. And then you just flow. You got more energy than you can do your neighbor's dishes. You got more energy. Well, how's my neighbor doing? You know, what's that? You know, you got a ministry. You come to the church. Who has a need? You have the blessing of God in your life. Do not calculate your life based on yourself. Learn to live in faith as a servant. As you find that blessing, the seed of Christ, you find that blessing in your life. It's not necessarily always easy, but you learn and you become a blessing. Okay, amen.